So we have a quorum, and we can start with calling everybody to order. Do you have to say who's here again?
After recess, because we're missing people, we probably should.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fish? Fritz?
Here. Please read the title for item 1227.
Authorize a temporary capital loan from the Sewer System Rate Stabilization Fund to the Grants Fund to provide interim capital financing for the Portland Bureau of Transportation East Side Streetcar Loop Project.
Thank you. Gentlemen, a brief presentation, please.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is John Rist with the Bureau of Transportation. In June of this year, you approved the East Side Streetcar Project and the financing plan to that project. We're back here today to seek your authority for an capital loan from the Sewer System Rate Stabilization Fund of the Grants Fund in totaling $22 million. This loan will eventually be paid back with federal funds as they come in, but to keep the project on schedule, we're seeking the authority from council for this temporary loan.
Did you have anything to add?
No, I'm Ken Kenosha, Bureau of Transportation. I'm technical support.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions from council? Anybody in the audience wish to testify?
No one. Oh, I didn't have a sign-up sheet.
It's a resolution. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
So what we're doing is borrowing money internally between different funds, expecting to get $75 million from the federal government.
That is correct.
Allowed
that,
to do it, and we are. We have it in the budget. Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please read both 1228 and 1235.
1228, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process to the Bureau of Purchases pursuant to ORS 279C and City Code 5.34 and provide payment for construction of the Bull Run Dam 2 Tower CMGC Improvements Project in 1235.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry. One more to read here. Amend contract with Black & Veatch Corporation to increase compensation, extend the performance period, and increase the scope of work for Bull Run Dam 2 Tower Improvements.
Commissioner Leonard.
Mike Sturr.
David Jaff.
I'm going to purchase it first.
All right, let's start with item 1228. Good afternoon. I am Kathleen Brennis with the Bureau of Purchases, and we've got Mike Sturr, David Schaff from the Water Bureau.
Tim Collins.
Item 1228, this ordinance is seeking authorization to exempt this particular construction project for improvements to the Bull Run Dam 2 towers from the traditional low bid process in order to use the alternative CMGC contracting method. Under Oregon law, we are required to provide an exemption based on a number of different findings which are attached as Exhibit A to the ordinance. This enables us to pursue a competitive request for proposals process, allowing us to consider other evaluation criteria in the selection of the contractor, such as their diversity in workforce, the qualifications of their project team, instead of just awarding based on low price. This authorization is simply the first step in the selection of the CMGC contractor.
CMGC stand for?
CMGC is the acronym for Construction Manager General Contractor.
Thank you.
And it's the first step, and we would be back before council for authorization to actually execute the construction contract. With that, I'll pass it over to David, barring any questions.
Good afternoon. I'm David Schaff. I'm the director of the Portland Water Bureau. I'm here to talk about our Dam 2 Tower Improvement Project and the fact that this is such a critical project. It's a $30 million project. I have half the audience remaining in this room to answer questions. I have the chief engineer, my contracts manager, the project manager, our chief fish biologist, who I think is still here, and our design manager. The CMGC process is a contract form that for type that will best meet our goals in building this project. It's going to allow us to carefully select a contractor who has very specific experience in this type of specialty and very dangerous work. We're going to be dealing with tons of steel at depths of 100 or more feet underwater. And the CMGC will be working with the design team, the Black and Veatch design team, on the next ordinance that will work with them to develop the means and methods to best meet the project and do it within our budget, to do it safely, and to allow us, and this is the critical piece, to allow us to continue to operate our Bull Run system while we're doing all of this work at the Dam 2 tower intakes. Our water comes into the treatment system from those two towers. So while we're working on the towers, we will have to continue to allow provide water to the citizens of Portland and all of our wholesale customers. So this is a very critical project, and the reason why we're using CMGC is to allow our contractor who's going to construct the project, work with the designers, the Black and Veatch, and work with our project managers, people like Tim, all together during that process so that when it comes time to actually start building it, they will have already determined the means and methods in order to build it the most efficiently and safely while still operating the system. So that's what we're here for, and we are here to answer questions if there are any.
Questions from council? Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anybody like to testify on this?
No one signed up.
So these are regular ordinances. They move to second reading. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please read the titles for 1229 and 1230.
1229, authorized grant agreement with Brothers and Sisters Keepers, Inc. for street-level gang outreach from September 1, 2009 through August 31, 2010. 1230, authorized grant agreement with Emmanuel Community Services for street-level gang outreach from September 1, 2009 through August 31, 2010.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. In May of this year, the City Council approved two grants for gang outreach violence prevention services with Brothers and Sisters Keepers and Emmanuel Community Services in partnership with NEA, ERCO, and Catholic Charities. We're here today to extend and expand those outreach grants, and due to internal administrative savings, we will be adding some additional ongoing general fund dollars and a contribution from the Police Bureau's federal stimulus funds, which will then employ a total of 10 full-time gang outreach workers compared to 8 right now. We had some people here earlier to talk about those grants, but I told them they didn't have to wait anymore. So I would urge approval.
Questions from council? Anybody like to testify on this?
No one signed up.
These are emergency ordinances. Please call the roll on 1229.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Good work. Aye. And 122, the roll on 1230.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. Thank you. Please read the title for emergency ordinance 1232.
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire permanent easements necessary for construction of the East Side Combined Sewer Overflow Tunnel Project number 794 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. Again, this is similar to what we just heard. It authorizes Bureau of Environmental Services to exercise eminent domain to acquire easements necessary to complete the East Side Big Pipe construction. No individuals or groups who have been notified have opposed this passage. I urge approval.
Questions from council? Anyone wish to testify on this? Emergency ordinance, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
When nobody comes in to complain about eminent domain, I think it's safe to say that it's a good thing. Aye. Thank you. Please, I keep forgetting to do the gaveling thing. It's just too much to handle amongst everything else. But I don't think that's absolutely necessary, right, according to... No. The city attorney is telling me that banging the gavel is optional. Excellent.
Can I do it for her?
No, you may
I
not.
I actually like to do the gavel.
I like holding the gavel.
Okay.
Please knock it off, please.
Please read the title.
Wait, we haven't eaten.
For 1234.
Authorized and in government... supplemental agreement with Multnomah County in an amount not to exceed $979,256 for provision of chemical substance abuse treatment services to chronic offenders and for the district attorney and parole and probation services for chronic arrestees.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. This is authorizing intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County as part of our service coordination team efforts that were pioneered by Commissioner Leonard in the Old Town Chinatown area and downtown. And I urge approval of this intergovernmental agreement.
Questions from council? Anyone wish to testify on the issue, please come forward. And I would note that Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch was here earlier and unable to stay, and I apologize for not being able to get to this item until now.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is Chris O'Connor. I'm an attorney here in Portland. I don't speak for any particular law firm or client. I'm here as an individual. The first question is, what is this program? It is a secret list that singles out specific people for enhanced penalties. These people are placed on the list through an unpublished and constantly changing process solely decided by the police bureau. Once on the list, they're subject to enhanced prosecution by the county deputy district attorney that this seeks to pay. What would be a misdemeanor crime becomes a felony, and only after a conviction on the felony does the offender become eligible for treatment. The money spent is then spent on the parole and probation, supervision and treatment, and police overtime, of course, for the police officers to follow these folks around once they're in the program. Now, I want to say treatment's great. I support it. I support the city working with the county to provide drug and alcohol treatment. In my job, I represent people in court every day and have helped many people get into treatment. It's essential. But secret lists are bad, and singling out people for enhanced prosecution is bad. I think history teaches us to be very nervous when the government is putting people on special lists and singling them out for negative treatment. It's also inefficient. Under this program, a person who is on this chronic arrestee list cannot simply walk into the city or the county and say, I need assistance. I need drug or alcohol treatment. Please help me. No, first you have to be arrested, maybe for a misdemeanor, have it enhanced to a felony, and then go to the whole court process, including the required funds from the state for appointment of indigent defense counsel, for instance, as well as court time. So it's very inefficient on that basis. Additionally, if there was a way to straight out reach, outgo outreach and talk to these folks, we wouldn't have the expense to the city for the police overtime and salaries that they're using. And of course, there wouldn't be the need for a special district attorney or special POs. We can imagine why the district attorney, the probation department, and the police would be supporting this program. They're receiving special funds for it. You also need to understand that a person who's on this list is barred from the very successful community court program through the county circuit court. They're barred from the STOP drug court program. STOP stands for sanctions, treatment, opportunity, progress. Once you're on this list, you're not allowed to be in that program. The ultimate question, the whole program's been shrouded in secrecy the whole time. There's all this talk today of partnership, public meetings, process, criteria for contractors. None of that was gone through in this program. There was no public meetings held about this. There was no participation from the community. And the whole program is very cynical in that it's simply an attempt to do an end run around the existing state criminal process and avoid judicial review of the placement on the list and execution of the list. So I'd urge you to vote no on this.
Thank you.
Unless you have any questions, I'll return to my seat.
Questions from council?
Appreciate your patience, though. I know you've been here since morning.
I have. Thank you.
Commissioner Leonard, I'm wondering if you would be willing to address the issue.
Is there anybody else that's testifying? Well, understanding I am not the commissioner of police,
right,
Commissioner Saltzman is, but he has graciously alluded to the fact that I worked to create this group, and I listened to you politely. I'd appreciate it if you try to do the same. And I just want to, first of all, say publicly to Commissioner Saltzman, as I've said to members of the police bureau, I wish they would reconsider this whole notion of the list not being published, because I frankly don't get why we don't. I mean, I know Commissioner Salzman's gotten the same advice I have from the city attorney's office that says don't publish the list, but the list is created by the number of offenses one commits. And it's an easily discernible list of people, because the more offenses you commit, the higher up on the list one finds oneself. And what has been mystifying to me about the advice from the city attorney is, from the city attorney's office, is somehow we should keep private what otherwise is public information. Arrests are public. The names of the people who get arrested are public. It's all for public review. And why in the world the police bureau just, or the city attorney doesn't just remove this, what I consider to be distraction, and just say, we have a blind system by which if you end up number one on this particular list, it's because you've committed more offenses than anybody else, is beyond me. So having said that, let me explain, and hopefully Commissioner Salzman will have heard that. You've heard me agree with you that it shouldn't be secret. I think it should be public, because as I understand it, the only angst around this problem is really this issue of why the names aren't public, and I agree with you, Chris, that it should be public. Second, I have learned through a variety of experiences in my life that people do bad things, not necessarily because they're bad people, but because of mental illness, drug addiction, alcoholism, but usually all three mixed together. So people in our community that find themselves constantly at the bad end of a drug deal or at the other end of a drug sale, or find themselves hopelessly in the dark spiral of alcoholism, or find themselves hopelessly in the dark spiral of prostitution, or hopelessly in the spiral of robbing, thieving, and conniving in order to feed any one of the addictions that I alluded to earlier, we have not yet figured out a way how to break that cycle until we came up with this really straightforward approach. And it is interesting that what we are voting on here today that Commissioner Salzman brought forward is money that includes treatment for chemical abuse. So here it is, the police bureau that is asking for money to treat people chemically. So why in the world would we do that? Why would the police bureau, and I've heard some people say that this program is making social workers out of police officers. Let social workers be social workers, and let police officers be police officers, and it tells me they don't get it. And with all due respect, Chris, you don't get it. The whole point behind this program is to do something different than what has ever been done before, and that is have our police officers think more like social workers. What is it that's not just being done that causes a person to be arrested, but what is it that motivated them to get to that point? And when you look at the Old Town, downtown area, the predominant number, and I know I'm looking at one person who knows what I'm talking about, the predominant number of criminal offenses are done by good people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol or have a mental illness or have all three. This program is simple in that what it does is it funds jail beds that were otherwise closed. We called Project 57 when we first started this. We went to the county 5 years ago. I sat down with the then county sheriff, the chief judge of Multnomah County, and representatives from the mayor's office, and said, what do we have to do to get beds open to put bad people in that the police find downtown taking drugs, selling drugs, using drugs, committing crimes with alcohol, their alcohol-related crimes, who are now only getting citations? And the police officers tell me it doesn't make any sense. I issue somebody a citation, they walk down the street, they buy more drugs. And what I was told, we need more beds to put people in. So I sat down and negotiated the only agreement of its kind in the United States of America, wherein we actually rent beds from the county that are specific to the city of Portland. We put people in jail in the city of Portland that you would not get put in jail for offenses, the same offense in Gresham or Troutdale or Wood Village or unincorporated Multnomah County, because we pay for the beds. But I recognize just putting somebody in jail, and I recognize this from my service in the legislature. I'm going to take a few minutes to explain this so you get my whole motivation behind this. When I was in the legislature, I served on the subcommittee of the Full Ways and Means on Public Safety because of my background as a firefighter. So I worked on budgets that related to funding the state police, funding the state prison, and we were in that at that time when I was on that subcommittee, we were in the same economic era that we are in now. So we were not looking at adding programs, adding police, or adding prison guards or opening prisons. We were looking at cutting prisoners' programs, cutting prisoner guards, cutting back on services. the singular most powerful testimony I've ever heard to this day, ever. And Randy Miller, State Representative Randy Miller, who would characterize himself as on the conservative end of the Republican Party, was chair of the committee, said the same thing. The singular most powerful testimony we ever heard was from a group of ex-cons who had dedicated their life to helping existing inmates overcome addictions to drug and alcohol and to get treatment for mental abuse. We sat in the we sat up as we were sitting here and looked in the audience and saw biker gangs by the dozens. People that would frighten me. People, let's just put it this way, if one of those folks cussed at me, I wouldn't say a word. I would just take it. They were big, burly ex-cons who saw the light once they got treatment and felt that part of their duty in their life was then to pass that on to people that were in the place they had once been. There but for the grace of God go I heard a dozen times that afternoon. And we walked out of that room, and Randy Miller looked at me and said, "That we are not cutting that prisoners program. That was on our list of cuts. We are not cutting that prisoner. I don't care where we get the money. If I, Randy Miller, have to go raise taxes, I'll raise taxes because I am absolutely convinced those guys are stopping the cycle." So that seed was planted in my mind when I was approached by Officer Jeff Myers to please find a way to fund jail beds. So I sat down from that point to this to put together this program that is now this comprehensive approach that is a unique program, I am told, in the United States of America, wherein we arrest somebody, we take them to jail and say, now you can either stay in jail or we have a bed for you to be treated in. And if you choose treatment, then you'll get out of jail. Early on in this program, people thought, because they're scammers, well, I'll take the treatment. They go out the back door. One of the police officers recognize them, grab them, put them back in a jail bed. All of a sudden, they were going, wait a second, what happened to the ticket? I did the same thing a week ago and you gave me a ticket. Now you're dragging me to jail and then I get out of jail and I go to treatment and I don't like treatment and you take me back to jail. What's up? Well, we came up with some resources and this cycle is going to continue until you either do one or two things. You fill out your time in jail or you complete treatment. What we have found from then till now is a 36% drop in crime in Old Town. The current police chief, who most people would agree, doesn't necessarily agree with me on anything, necessarily, has said this is the singular most effective crime enforcement treatment tool she has witnessed in her nearly 30 years in law enforcement. And when I read that, I knew I was on to something. If Police Chief Rosie Sizer said this is the singular most effective law enforcement tool she has used in her career, I knew we were on to something. Commissioner Saltzman, being the man he is, wasn't worried that I created this program. He isn't worried about who authored it. He said, it works. I'm going to continue it. It works. It saves people's lives. We have this one small disagreement, and I'm urging publicly that we get over that small disagreement, publish the names on the list, because, again, they're only people who are on the list because of the number of arrests they get. So publish it. Other than that, this is a program that other cities come to us to ask us how we operate it to emulate. We've had Victoria, B.C. come here. I am convinced, and this is before I was a year ago. Since then, I'm sure Commissioner Saltzman has been visited by other communities. I don't know whether he has or not, but I'd be shocked if he hasn't. How are you guys doing this? And we're doing it by being smart. We're not treating people like things. We're not treating people like criminals. We're not treating people because they urinate in the street like they should be beat up. We're figuring out why, and then we're building public restrooms, and we're creating treatment programs. We're creating specific treatment programs for prostitutes, for drug addicts, for alcoholics, for people who have mental illness, and we're fixing people and giving them a chance at life. So thank you, Commissioner Frith, for giving me the opportunity to explain that.
Thank you very much. Other comments? Let's see. This is an emergency. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, I think Commissioner Leonard did an outstanding job of articulating the rationale for the service coordination team. I would say that I know that I think it was a week ago Monday, I attended a service team coordination barbecue / graduation underneath the Burnside Bridge and saw 30 to 40 individuals whose lives were immensely better than they were before. And so this is a good thing, and I would point out that the only thing I'd add is that Officer Jeff Myers is on his way to becoming Detective Jeff Myers, if it hasn't already happened for sure yet.
Nice.
But anyway, I appreciate appreciate your statement. I do appreciate your concerns and, as I said, for being patient and waiting around all day. Aye.
Leonard?
I believe I know when I've said enough. Aye.
Fish?
I want to associate myself with Randy's remarks and also add my voice to the chorus about publishing the list. And frankly, based on a couple of matters that I've been involved with, I'm learning that, you know, we often get good legal advice, but ultimately we're the clients. And we have to always remember that. So I think I will join with you in seeking to have that list published, as I think it should. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you. I also agree with all of the other remarks. I would like at some other date to find out what services like this are available for women in terms of the parity of men versus women getting into this program. I know from the other side of the equation, from working at OHSU in psychiatry for 22 years, how desperate people become when they can't get into treatment for 6 months. And sometimes they get arrested for doing crimes, which then get them the drugs and alcohol that take away the pain. Sometimes they come into the hospital suicidal. And neither of those routes should be the way that a civilized society helps people. We should be funding enough treatment programs that people can get treatment on demand. We're not at that point yet. And so this program makes fiscal sense in prioritizing services for those who have caused the most criminal offenses. So it's a good program. I want to thank the city's project manager, Bill Sinnott, the city's project manager, Bill Sinnott of the Portland Police Bureau, Multnomah County's manager, Kathleen Treb, and for spearheading this, the Volunteers of America and Salvation Army, who help provide outpatient and inpatient drug and alcohol treatment, and the entire service coordination team, which, again, since I've been here in office, I have met with them and understood their compassion that is very similar to my colleagues at OHSU, that the approach is of people who care about people in the community, and that is very good to know. Aye. So we did 1235, and I think we're now at calling the roll for 1236.
Read the title.
Please.
Authorize general fund resources to maintain, manage, and operate the Simon and Helen Director Park.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
I had a chance when this was first read to thank everybody at Parks who worked so hard, at the Portland Park Foundation, our private partners who've contributed 60% of the overall cost of this project, and the talented team that are bringing this home. And I'll just, again, thank everybody for their exceptional work. Aye.
Fritz.
I have a lot of concerns about the process and the ordinances that we're asked to vote on. We have a problem when construction costs end up three times the projected costs. We have a problem when choices are made in a design of a project that result in the ongoing operations and maintenance costs three times those expected. And we have a problem when 2 months after the 9-10 budget is approved, we're presented for a request for $450,000 in ongoing operations and maintenance costs. We have a problem when donors are allowed to give large sums of money contingent on providing particularly expensive features which involve ongoing escalating operations and maintenance costs without also requesting that a concurrent endowment be given to pay for the ongoing maintenance for that. I think we have a problem that the increased costs for operations and maintenance could have been paid for out of the spectator fund if we hadn't voted to put all of that money into PGE Park. I'd like to see safeguards so that the council is required to improve expensive upgrades before bureaus are allowed to agree to them. I'd like to see a process for a set-aside of general fund dollars each year so that when new parks come online, the money is already available for the operations and maintenance. That's something that we've done in the past, and we know that there are many parks-deficient areas of the city and that we are going to work with capital projects and with bond measures and with donations to get more parks into the system. We need to be prepared to improve them because I'm concerned that citizens are going to be coming downtown to come to this new paved park near Pioneer Courthouse Square, not knowing that part of the operations and maintenance is coming out of the overall parks budget, the overall city budget, and that we're making choices here that affect next year's budget without fully considering how exactly that works. And I would like to have donors who want particularly expensive features in parks be required to endow the ongoing fund. I'd like to see equity in funding between parks in different parts of the cities. On the other hand, this park is built. It's going to be a beautiful park. We definitely have a responsibility to fund operations and maintenance in parks. I think most people who know me understand how much I care about parks, and I've been a supporter of Director Santner and of the parks system as a whole. And I certainly want parks to be operated and maintained in a permanent and secure fashion. With all that said, so this train has been running down the tracks before I hopped on board, and since I'm a parks supporter and I want to maintain it, I vote aye. And please call the roll for, please read the title for 1237.
Authorize a condominium agreement with Fox Tower, LLC, for Director Park.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
I want to compliment Commissioner Fritz on the eloquence of her statement a moment ago. I will say, though, that to the extent a number of the issues that you raised are issues that in the future you would like me as the newest Parks Commissioner to actually address in a public hearing rather than to make conclusory statements after the record is closed and there's actually no evidence in the record, I would welcome that opportunity, and particularly the reference to alleged changes made at the dictates of donors. That there actually is nothing before us at the council on that in our hearing, in our public hearing. And the to the extent you would like to see policies and procedures and protocols, I join you. I've already said that. I would also like to have a chance in our deliberative process, not only on this, but everything that I'm now responsible for, to build a robust record on those issues. So I encourage you to speak out on these issues, and I also encourage you to give your colleagues a chance to build a record on those things when they come before council. Aye.
Fritz.
I think if you check the record, I did mention it last time, and it's in the ordinance about those issues. And similarly, I raised the issue of...
That's not, Commissioner, if you'll yield, that's not my point. It's not you mentioning it. It's having a public process and a hearing where my bureau that I'm responsible for can actually address concerns of my colleagues. Someone putting it in the record as a concern is different than having my team have a chance to respond to matters that are raised and to create a fair record. I think there's a difference, respectfully.
Thank you for the clarification. There is, and what I'm hearing you say is a commitment to that, which is what I was asking for. So I certainly appreciate that. And again, on the condominium agreement, I would, as I mentioned last time, I would have liked to have seen a reciprocal agreement for parking spaces underneath the property instead of taking it out of the general fund. However, again, we need to make sure that the Transportation Bureau is whole and that this condominium agreement is sound, and I vote aye. And with that, with this marathon session, I promise Commissioner Leonard would be out, and Ms. Saltzman would be out by 2:45, and it's 2:44.
Thank you.
Randy,
nice job.
Greg, just one sec. Or do you have Chief?
Can I come over and see you?
Yeah.